Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials Podcast, we took ourselves on a self-date. So in the past, we've taken ourselves on self-dates just to kind of have some me time and do something that we enjoy.
I think at the beginning of this whole project, especially with episode one of it, is I think we both felt a lot of pressure to take ourselves out to a place or a different location and kind of make a whole big production of it. And I don't know about you, but our listeners, if they listen to the other two episodes, can hear about how I've procrastinated every single time on it, because just the idea of getting something together or like leaving the house, because sometimes the weather's not great on, I think I don't want to go outside in that. So this time, I just kind of resigned myself to the fact that this will be happening in the house. I will not be going anywhere for this.
That's so funny, because we literally decided that we were going to record this episode like the following week, last week. And so we were debating, we were like, "Ooh, are we going to have time to take ourselves on a self-date? Are we not?" And I was like, honestly, I feel like half the time we both just do it so last minute that it'll probably be okay. And so I also did like a very much at home self-date for this one. I wanted to do like a treat yourself kind of day. And so I got a couple things to treat myself, and then that was what I did.
So I feel like mine was kind of in two parts. One part was on a Thursday night. I watched a few episodes of The Bear because the season 2 came out. Do you know the show?
I've heard of it, but I've not watched it. Can you give me like a brief summary of what it's about?
10,000-foot view version of it is there's this chef, Carmi, and he's used to working in all these fancy, like, Michelin star restaurants, but then he comes back to Chicago. I think it's, like, because his brother died to basically work at The Beef, which is kind of like this sandwich shop type thing. And so that was kind of season one. And season two is they close The Beef and are reopening the restaurant. It's kind of like a more fine dining-esque establishment.
Oh, that sounds like kind of a fun show. I feel like from what I've heard, it looks like the characters are always mad at each other. I don't know if that's a thing. But like, I've seen various like just small clips on like my TikTok, and it's like The Bear. And I'm like, why are they always mad?
They're mad because opening a restaurant is stressful. Also, it's kind of like this thing where there's Carmi and then his cousin works there. And they're always butting heads. And then his sister has just come in as, like, the project manager for the reno, for the restaurant. So I think some of it could be, too, is, like, when you have a bunch of family working together, I feel like things can happen.
That's so true. You know, my brothers and I, we joke about owning a business together all the time. We're like, oh, we should buy an investment property. Or yesterday we were talking about like, oh, we should own a donut shop. The margins are great. By the way, this is not business advice. This is just us talking. But at the same time, I'm kind of like terrified to go into business with them, because I always wonder what would happen if we actually did go into business with each other, because I could totally see us butting heads on something and then it being like unforgivable.
I think it's complicated to go into business with anybody. I think also the fact if you go to business with your family, there's things that if it was just your business partner, you wouldn't have to see them. Like, you don't have to see your business partner at Christmas. But what if something blew up in the business? Not literally, just figuratively. And then you're thinking about, well, do I go to Christmas? Because I can't stand seeing so-and-so right now.
Oh, that's so true. I guess I never really thought about it that way. Yeah, I think that would maybe be a little bit problematic. I still would like to own a donut shop, though. I still feel like that would be fun.
When you were talking about donut shops, the first thing I thought of was the, what's his name? The donut story from After Parties? Chuck's Donuts.
Oh, yeah! Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like owning a donut shop would be kind of fun. If you owned a donut shop and you had, like, a signature donut, what would it be?
Ooh. I don't know. I love caramel and salted caramel. I know, unpopular for you. I also love a Boston cream.
Boston cream is okay. It just would not be my first choice. Maybe it's because I've never had one in Boston.
Does that mean you don't like eclairs and cream puffs either?
They're like okay. They're just never my preferred thing. I like them because they're sugary, but I don't like them at the same time because they're creamy. Very mixed emotions.
So it's kind of like if you were on a desert island and the only dessert available to you were, say, cream puffs or eclairs or a Boston cream donut. You would eat it because it's sweet and it's the only thing you had, but you wouldn't necessarily enjoy your time.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way. I think it's just like if there was a plain chocolate donut or a Boston cream, I would probably pick the plain chocolate donut every time. Unless I was really hungry and was like, I need something that's more filling, therefore I'm going to pick the Boston cream.
Plain or glazed chocolate?
Either one. I like them both.
I don't like plain donuts.
Really?
They're dry.
Oh, you're talking like the glazed one or like the plain one? Like where it's like the plain donut and the chocolate frosting?
No, I was thinking of like, you know, the glazed chocolate donut? I was thinking of one of those with glaze on it or one of those without glaze on it.
Oh. I mean, I'd like one that's chocolate with glaze or one that's like a plain donut with chocolate frosting. Those two would be my picks. If you're talking like just a plain chocolate donut with no glaze, at that point it's just a muffin. Call it what it is.
See, I don't know if they have a chocolate version of it, but I know they have like a plain white donut that's just like an unglazed cake-like donut, and I do not enjoy it.
That's so sad. Oh, also, if you ever come to visit me here, we have this local donut shop that is so good. I'll have to pick some stuff up from there if you ever come to visit because it's super delicious.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like donuts. I like when you get like a bunch, like say if you're gonna have people over or something, and then, because then you get to try a whole bunch of pieces from all the different ones instead of, I hate when you go to the donut shop and then you're sitting there and you don't know which one to get because there's like three ones you want to get, but you're not gonna eat three donuts. And they're not very good leftover.
Donuts are good for like 2 days leftover, and even then they're not like that good leftover. But I will say, for the local donut shop that I'm thinking of, I went there for Long's birthday and like picked them up as a surprise because it was right before he had to be away for 2 weeks. And it was so funny because when I went to go and pick them up, I think I went the day before I actually wanted to pick them up because I knew that they closed at like 4 p.m. And so I walked in there and I was like, do you guys have like a list of the donuts? And the girl behind the counter was so nice. She hand wrote me an entire list of all the donuts they had in the store and like the twists. I was like, you are an angel. Like, thank you so much. So then of course I perused it all that night and I was like, what am I going to order tomorrow?
That's so smart, planning ahead.
So that's my tip to all of you listening. If you are indecisive, ask them for a list, and if there is a kind soul behind the counter, they might actually give you one.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, I went to a donut shop, and I was gonna order a half dozen because we were gonna go to a friend's, and I was like, oh, this seems like a nice thing to bring as like a dessert. So I was sitting there looking at all the donuts on display, but then somebody walked in behind me and I started feeling the time pressure. Like when someone's there and you're like, well, I don't want to take too long because they're waiting. And so then I just started like pointing at donuts. And I was like, that one and that one and that one. They were good. But then when it's like, oh, what type of donuts you get? I'm like, I don't know. I panicked when someone came in behind me and just started ordering them.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that's so real though. When you walk in and somebody walks in behind you and you're like, I'm not ready yet. Don't wait on me, but like they're trying to be polite to you and they're like, oh no, it's fine. And you're like, no, I'm seriously not ready. Just order your donuts.
See, my problem was I had already ordered one or two, so I couldn't have even done the like, oh, you go ahead. But I was ordering six and I was like, I don't know. I was like, I need to pick the best donuts. But then I panicked and just picked ones that looked good.
There's also another donut place by me that makes various different donuts. Like they've got a tahine donut, they've got like a mango lassi donut, which, okay, I went there and I was so excited to try their donuts. Let me tell you, what a letdown. Like their donuts were not that good. I don't know if it's because like they didn't put enough flavor into their frosting or whatever, but like they just tasted too sweet or like too creamy. Maybe somebody else who likes creamier stuff would like it, but I was underwhelmed and I was so sad because I had such high hopes. I was like, these are going to be so good. Their flavors sound amazing. No. Their normal donuts were really good though. Like their old fashions, super great. But like their fancy ones, not as good.
So, with your donuts, are you team cakey donut or team yeasty donut?
Honestly, I appreciate both, and I don't think that I have a strong preference. What about you?
Well, growing up, I think I always got. No, that's a lie, because I did get the chocolate ones. I got Yeasted Donuts a lot. So I used to think that Yeasted Donuts were the donut. And I was like, well, what is this other donut that's solid? I don't think I have a preference either. I think I judge it more based on what the flavor is and like what the toppings are or the glaze, more so than what the structure is. I do think that the cakey donuts feel more solid. You know, like a yeasted donut can just go down real fast and you're like, what happened to it?
I do feel that. I think it depends on how hungry I am, because if I'm very hungry, I'll take the cake donut. If I'm not that hungry, I'll take the yeast donut. So you were telling us about your self-care moment watching Bear. The Bear? Bear. The Bear. Okay. What was your other one? Because it sounded like you had two separate parts.
Oh, yes. So then the other one was the next day. I sat on the couch and read Woven in Moonlight. That is our October book, if anybody is interested. And it was really nice because a lot of times I've just been reading at work on my lunch break, which is nice because I get to read a bit and catch a story. But it's not really relaxing when you're reading on lunch break because I feel like I'm always checking the clock.
Okay, I have one small thing that I'm going to say because I've only read about 5 pages into this book, so I don't think it's going to spoil anything. However, I will say the YA trope of starting off with, "We are all starving," is too real. I was like, oh my gosh, the amount of YA books I've read that start off that way, I was dying. I was dying a little on the inside. It was a lot. So that's a teaser.
Is that specifically like a YA fantasy thing? Because I'm pretty sure Maiden Korea did not start off with "We're starving."
No, I don't even think it's a YA fantasy thing. 'Cause like you have it in like the Hunger Games too. And that's not necessarily fantasy. Like it's more dystopian, you know?
Okay, I get that. I think this book addresses a lot more in terms of like kind of issues that you can discuss.
That's good.
There's this whole like colonialism aspect and kind of like each group othering the other group kind of thing. So I feel like it could, especially if you're using it for like a classroom thing. Again, I didn't finish the book yet, so I could completely change this, but it seems like there's potential for more of a discussion on what the book is representing and what it means.
Oh, that's good to know.
I think I'm also highly biased based on the cover because I really, really like the cover.
The cover is super cute. I was so worried that my library wasn't gonna have it. I was like, they're not gonna have it. Because, like, they didn't have any digital copies, but then afterwards, when I went in, found it, no problem. I was like, this is great.
So, tell me about your date.
So for mine, I did a little self-care date. So I went and I got like some sugar scrub. I got a cucumber. I got like some of those little nose strips, and I just like pampered myself. And that was what I did. And it sounds like it's not that significant, but I feel like it's kind of significant because I rarely do things like that for myself. It also was kind of divided up into 2 days. Like I did one on Thursday where I like took a shower, shaved, used the sugar scrub, like used the nose strips, etc. But by that time, it was like kind of late. And so I was like, oh, I need to use the cucumber a different day. So I literally this morning for like 10 minutes laid there with cucumber all over my face. And that was my other self-care moment.
I love that. I guess we both had a part two.
We did. It was like not a singular self-date. It was kind of like another. And then I also had something else that could qualify as a self-date, but I didn't really like think of it as a self-date at the time. Where one day it was just super nice out, so I just went to my local park and I like laid out a blanket and just drew for a little bit. It was super relaxing.
I just love the whole lay a blanket in a park type thing. I mean, I haven't done it in I don't know how long, but it's just something really nice.
And the thing is, I have to take advantage while I live somewhere that's walkable. because I know that I'm probably not always going to live somewhere that's walkable. Like, if I move further out to the burbs, there's probably not going to be a park within walking distance, which kind of stinks. But it's a reality I need to face.
And that is why I won't move too far into the burbs.
Oh, also, did you want to tell our podcast listeners what you were talking about doing as potential self-care?
Oh, yes. So I was talking about how I want to get a massage sometimes, just because I feel like we sit so much, and we go to work, and we drive, and we sit, and we sit, and we sit. And I was like, I think a professional massage could be nice, but I have a couple of concerns, and I forgot the second one, but the more important concern was I was concerned that you had to be naked during them because all the movies show the people just under a towel. And I was not a fan of that.
See, I feel like that was also my concern with getting massage. And I don't know if it's just because, like, Hollywood always shows that. Maybe it's just like, you know, those people are very confident in their bodies. But I'm like, I don't know if I want to be naked in front of a complete stranger.
That's what I think. And I think when I was talking to mom about it or something, she's like, well, they're not looking. Like, they just put the towel on and, like, whatever. And then I was like, but, like, do they touch your butt or something? And they're like, I guess if you want to. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to.
I've never gone and gotten a massage, but I know one of my old coworkers, she used to go and get massages every once in a while. I think, like, once every couple months or maybe once a month. And she was like, it is life-changing. So she seemed to really like it. I would say go for it. Yeah, maybe do some research. Make sure you don't have to be, like, completely naked.
I feel like they can't force you to be.
I feel like you could just wear, like, a cami and some shorts, and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? Sorry, speaking of workout shorts, I kind of want to get, like, some of those shorts that are kind of like bike shorts, but not like bike shorts. Do you know which ones I'm talking about? They're for working out. They're, like, yoga pants, but not. They're shorts.
No?
I think they're pretty much just bike shorts.
But with different material? With, like, yoga pant material?
I don't know if they're with yoga pant material. They might be with, like, bike short material, but they're, like, shorter than bike shorts. Because bike shorts go to your knee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I have some of those. Where they're, like, I think they're, like, the ones I have, I think, are, like, 3 inches-ish.
Yeah. It's, like, a 3 to 6 inch inseam. It, like, goes to mid-leg. Like, that's what I want. I'm like, that would be so nice. So I need to go and I need to find some. But I always, like, want to get some. But also, I never want to order them online because I'm like, what if I order them online and then I don't like the way they fit and then I have to send them back? That's such an inconvenience. But I'm like, I never see them anywhere to go and try them on. It's a conundrum.
I think I've ordered most of mine online. I think I got some from Target a couple of years ago. But yeah, they're nice length because sometimes it's like bike shorts are like a little too long.
Yeah.
And sometimes the other ones are a little too short.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like the ones, like, the mid-thigh ones are good for, like, lounging around the house.
I agree.
But back to my massage problems. The other thing I don't, like, know how to do is, how do you find a good place? Like, I want to find a good place. Are the chains good places? I feel like in my head, chains aren't good places. But I don't know. They could be. And also, the price. They're kind of pricey, so I feel like it's a special occasion thing.
I feel like you have to go and check out the Google reviews to see what other people are saying. Like, I would definitely go and look at the reviews for that because I feel like that's the best way to find one, unless you have somebody that you know that gets massages, like, somewhat regularly who can recommend you to a place.
See, that's what I need to do, but I don't have any people like that. Because I think that's the best way to find a place.
Do you know what? You should just casually ask everyone you meet in law school, be like, so, have you ever gotten, like, a massage to release the stress of law school? If so, where? I'm looking.
Just open with that.
Exactly. Like, one of your first questions.
And then be like, oh, by the way, I'm Leanne.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I've heard that too, where people are like, I'm a different person after it. Like, it just, like, loosens all the knots and stuff.
One time for my work, as, like, a wellness thing, they had people come in and give you massages. And I have to say, I thought it was going to be a lot more relaxing than it was. It just felt kind of awkward. Like, the whole time I was like,
Were you at school, though?
It wasn't when I was working at school. It was actually at my new job. So they had, like, a wellness initiative, and they brought in people to give massages. So like you sat down in this little chair thing and then you put your head in a little headrest thing and then they would like give you a massage. What I found out, I think they were like athletic trainer type people. I don't think they were relaxation massage type people. So what I found out is apparently my right side of my body is way more tense than my left side.
That did still happen like at work. They didn't send you somewhere else, right?
No, it happened at work, yeah.
I think that's why it's awkward. I don't think I'd want to be massaged at work.
It was not that bad, but also at the same time, I was like, I don't know. It was just a little weird. Like, I think it was also just weird because I'm not used to a complete stranger, like, touching my back.
That is also fair.
But, like, to make this less sketchy, because I feel like this goes back to your question of, like, did you have to be naked? No, we were all fully clothed. For clarity's sake, and also, so, you know, if my company's listening to this, they don't think that I'm telling everybody about massages that are not appropriate for the workplace. We were all fully clothed.
So I guess that answers my question. But, okay, the thing that I heard about them is that you feel good afterwards, but it actually can, like, kind of hurt when they're doing it. Because they're really, like, digging in there and, like, loosening things up. I don't know. I've never had it done.
I feel like yes, but no. I feel like it wasn't necessarily that it hurt. Well, sometimes it was, like, a little bit painful. I feel like it was just sometimes they would, like, touch a spot on your back that you didn't know was sensitive, and you'd be like, oh, and you'd jump a little bit, and you're like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, so this is a little awkward now.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll do it sometime. Maybe I'll make somebody else do the research.
Send Kyle out. Be like, Kyle, for research purposes, I need you to try out all these different massage places, and then let me know which one is the best.
Seems like a solid plan.
I like it. I think it could work very well.
So who knows? Maybe one day I will do that as a self-date.
I think that would be super fun. Also, Lian, I'm ready to bring up the thing that we talked about before the podcast. So today I woke up at like 6:30 in the morning and I was like thinking about the podcast, and then I was thinking about things that we could talk about on the podcast, and I couldn't fall back asleep because I was thinking about what we should talk about on the podcast. And so have you heard of red flags and beige flags?
I've heard about the beige, well, I mean, red flags I know about, but I've heard about the beige flags just recently. Aren't those, is this the one that they're like, it's not a red flag or a green flag, it's just like a weird thing that your partner does, and then the thing, like the little infographic that I read was like, yeah, it's a weird thing your partner does, and you just go, okay.
Yes. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, I feel like we should talk about some red flags and some beige flags, so I think that if we can think of like one or two right now, we could mention them. But I think in the future, we have the potential to do a full episode on red flags and beige flags and what would be a red flag or a beige flag. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be like within our own partners. I think we could look up what other people have said online and react to it and say whether it's a beige flag or whether it's not.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I feel like the beige flags would be more interesting because I think a lot of the red flags everybody knows or should know.
Speaking on red flags, so the reason why I like couldn't stop thinking about this, so I recently got bangs, right? And I was thinking about red flags and I was like, oh my gosh, it would be such a red flag if you went to go work out with somebody and they didn't pin back their bangs. And then I was like,
a red flag?
That would be a red flag for me. But I was thinking more so like if I was going to the gym with one of my girlfriends and like, because then your bangs get all sweaty. It's gross. But then I was like, wait, is this a double standard? Because I was like, I feel like guys with bangs never pin them back. And then I was having this like existential crisis at 6:30 in the morning about whether or not you have to pin back your bangs to go and work out. And so I was like, well, some guys have like the little headband things. You know what I mean? But I'm like, but I feel like that's not all of them. And then how do they deal with like the sweaty bangs? I don't know. Do you think it's a red flag?
I think we have very different ideas of what red flags are. I was thinking, the reason why I was thinking we don't need to talk about red flags on a podcast, because they're usually the typical, like, he tells you who to hang out with, or what to wear, or stuff like that, or, like, cuts you off from your money. That's what I was thinking of as red flags, not whether they pin their bangs back at the gym.
Well, those ones are obviously red flags. Everybody knows those red flags. I'm talking about, like, the lesser-known red flags. Like, the small red flags, if you will. Like, not not like a, this is an abusive relationship red flag, but a red flag like, ooh, I don't know that I could deal with that. That sort of thing.
But are those red flags, though? I feel like red flags are literally like, you should not date the person because they're a terrible human.
I feel like they're like little mini red flags. It's like, not enough to be a relationship breaker, but it's slightly less, it's slightly more negative than a beige flag, you know? Maybe we should call it like a yellow flag, where it's like, not bad enough to break up with them, but like, a moment where you're like, it makes you question.
Okay, so like, in your head, the difference between a yellow flag and a beige flag is the beige flag, you're just like, oh, that's interesting. Kind of weird, but whatever. But then the yellow flag, you're like, oh, I don't know.
Yes. So I think
it's a yellow. I don't think that's a red flag.
It's probably not a red flag, but I was thinking about this and I could not get over it this morning. I was like, I don't know. Would that be a red flag? Because like, I was thinking of it more in the context of like a yellow flag, not something truly bad enough to be like, I cannot be with this person, but just gives you pause.
And is this why you texted me when you're like, we can record early because I woke up early? It's because you were thinking about what to do with your bangs at the gym?
Yes.
So what did you decide?
So I decided that I'm definitely pinning back my bangs. There's no way I'm not pinning back my bangs. But it just gave me a moment of pause because I was like, how do all of these guys go and work out with their bangs and not get like frustrated by them? Like, I don't understand. I feel like it would drive me crazy. Maybe it's a me problem.
I think it could also depend on how long they are, because if they're getting your eyes, that could be very annoying.
Yeah, I think if they're like little short bangs, maybe you're good. Or maybe like, I feel like some people with bangs like push them back, you know, to like have the additional volume. So maybe if you're doing that, it's okay. Or like maybe if you're doing something that's not super intense. But if you're like going for a run and getting super sweaty, I feel like it would be annoying.
I would either pin them back with like a hair clip, you know, a little barrette or something, or use a headband. Because I think, I agree, if you're running, they're just flopping around.
Anyways, Zillennials listeners, in the future, watch out for our red/beige/potentially yellow flags episode. So, if you are one of the people who likes to join us for our book club, our next book club is going to be Outlawed by Anna North, and that will be dropping on September 4th.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation about our self-dates, which basically also included little tangents about donuts and about red, yellow, beige, whatever color flags you decide are out there. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on any of those topics. Feel free to send an email to zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast.